Hello and welcome to today's Medicare Learning Network event. My name is Brittany and I'll be your web event specialist today. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that today's event is being recorded. During the presentation, we'll have a question and answer session. You can ask text questions at any time. Click the green Q&A icon on the lower left-hand corner of your screen, type your question in the open area, and click Submit. We will also be taking questions via the phone lines, and instructions on how to do so will be given at the appropriate time. If you would like to view the presentation in a full screen view, click the full screen button in the lower right-hand corner of your screen. Press the Escape key on your keyboard to return to your original view. For optimal viewing and participation, please disable your pop-up blockers. And finally, should you need technical assistance, as a best practice, we suggest you first refresh your browser. If that does not resolve the issue, please click on the support option in the upper right-hand corner of your screen for online troubleshooting. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Leah Nguyen. Leah, the floor is yours.
Hi, I'm Leah Nguyen from the Provider Communications Group here at CMS, and I'm your moderator today. I would like to welcome you to this Medicare Learning Network webcast on enrollment, multi-factor authentication for the identity and access system. Before we get started, there are a few items that I would like to quickly cover. Today's event uses webcast technology. We recommend streaming the audio live through your computer speakers. Those of you participating via webcast may download a copy of today's slide presentation by clicking on the blue Files button at the bottom left side of your screen. And please note that this event is being recorded and transcribed. Today's event is not intended for the press, and the remarks are not considered on the record. If you are a member of the press, you may listen in, but please refrain from asking questions during the question and answer session. If you have inquiries, contact press at cms.hhs.gov. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Srini Kunam from Turning Point Global Solutions.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Leah and Brittany. Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning if you're in a beautiful state like California or Hawaii. My team and I are very excited to be here presenting to you how multi-factor authentication is going to work in INA. This is our identity and access management system, followed by NPES. Next slide, please. Some of you may be familiar with this acronym. These are the systems we are going to cover in today's presentation, starting from INA through NPES, HITECH, and also our help desk EUS for INA. Next slide, please. In today's presentation, we are going to start with INA. Some of you may be familiar with this, and then we're going to move on to MFA. And some of you may be familiar with MFA also. For example, if you're logging into your banking website nowadays, you have to enter your user ID and password. In addition to that, you'll get a text message with a code you need to enter at the time of logging. This is going to work similar to what you do on your banking website. So we're going to walk you through how it's going to work on INA, followed by how it's going to work on NPES. Just like Brittany and Leah mentioned, there's going to be a Q&A session at the end. We'll answer all your questions. Next slide, please. Let's start with INA overview. Next slide, please. INA is our Identity and Access Management System. This is the system we use today to access your INA account, or it could be your NPES provider information, or PECOS provider enrollment information, or EHR electronic health records information. For all these three websites, you use INA account. INA does two things. One is authentication. So let's say you are starting as a group practice manager for a nephrology practice. There are 10 providers in that group, and also you have a type 2 NPI for the group itself. And then you need to manage all that. Since you are brand new, you may or may not have an INA account. The first thing you will do is you will go to INA and then register yourself. You will enter your email ID, you can pick your own user ID and password, and you will enter all your personal information. Once you do that, you'll get your account activated. That is authentication. With that user ID and password, You can log into Enfish, you can log into Pecos, you can log into EHR. The next thing you need is you need access to the providers in your nephrology practice. That is controlled by authorization. You may be a delegated official for some of your providers, or you may be a staff end user. Depending on what level of access you are given, you can access the same information and do the business functions in NPES, PECOS, or EHR. That is the authorization part of it. Authentication is your user ID and password that you log in with. Authorization is what providers and business functions you have access to. Next slide, please. And now that we know how INA works, we're going to see how MFA is going to work. MFA is multi-factor authentication. This is in addition to your user ID and password, we want to make sure that your data is secure. For example, some of us have a habit of recording our passwords and user IDs in an Excel spreadsheet or in an email or in posted notes posted next to our monitors, which is not a good idea. So if a hacker were to get hold of your user ID and password, that hacker may be able to access your account. We don't want that. So what we are going to do is we're going to protect that with a second factor. This factor will be sent to you at the time of login. So you don't have to remember, you don't have to write in an Excel spreadsheet. This is just one time. The next time you log in, you get a different second factor. Why are we doing it? Because we care about you. We care about your data. We want to make sure that your data in NPES, PECOS, EHR, and INA is secure. In INA, we're going to start with INA. That is going live on September 9th in 2019. And then you will see the complete roadmap shortly. Slide number 8, please. Next, we're going to walk you through the screens of how INA is going to work shortly. The first thing is there are two categories of users. Going back to the example of you starting with a nephrology practice, if you don't have an INA account, you'll be considered as a brand new user. If you were to register yourself in INA after September 9th, which is when we are going live with MFA, you have to register with MFA on day one. Some of you may be using INA today. In that case, you are considered as an existing user. We care about you also. So what we want to do is we want to give you a 30-day grace period, because on day one, you may not be ready to register yourself because you want to get going with whatever you need to do on NPES, PECOS, and HITECH. In that case, we understand that. So we give you a 30-day grace period from the time you log in for the first time after September 9th. So existing users get a 30-day grace period. New users have to register with MFA on day one, starting September 9th. The next question is, what devices can I use? You can use your cell phone. Now, most of us have cell phones. You can use that to get a text. Or you can use your email. It could be the email of your choice. The third option is you can use your phone number to get a phone call. It could be a landline or it could be a cell number, whatever you prefer. And you can have up to two devices that you can add. For example, I may have my cell number as my primary device, or I may have an alternative method like my email ID. Next slide, please. This is the roadmap I was referring to before. Everybody, all the existing users get a 30-day grace period. That is what you see at the top. And then the next diagram of the middle, we are showing you our dates for implementing INA MFA. That is going live in September, on September 9th. And then below that, you see NPES, that is going live in December, to be precise, on December 9th. And then followed by PECOS in the April of next year. By June 2020, all the systems that are listed here, INA, NPES, PECOS, and HITECH, they'll all be requiring you to use MFA. Thereafter, sorry, no more grace period. Next slide, please. Here's the screen that might be familiar to some of you. This is the login screen for INA. Going back to the example of you starting with a nephrology practice, you go to the right side to create an account now. If you have an INA account already, you log in with that INA account by entering the user ID and password. On this screen, you see the MFA user 7. That is the sample user ID we have picked for you today. And then you hit the sign-in button or the create account button. Next slide, please. irrespective of whether you're a brand new user or an existing user, the MFA process is pretty much similar. The first thing you need to do is, what is your preferred method of getting the code? It could be your email, or it could be your cell phone where you want to get a text, or it could be a landline where you prefer getting a phone call. So you can pick your primary method. So in this case, I'm going to pick my phone number text SMS, which is the first choice, and then I'm going to go to the next screen. Next screen, please. So I selected my phone number text SMS, and then I am going to enter my phone number here, and then I enter my phone number, and then I hit the button send text or SMS. Next slide, please. Once I do that, I get this screen. Here's where I need to enter the code. I will get a six-digit code if I were to pick my SMS text as my primary option or email. And the code is just 5 digits long if it is a phone call. That way you have one less digit to remember when you're attending this phone call. So you enter this code here, six-digit code or a five-digit code. Five-digit code is only for phone calls. Six-digit is for emails and text. You enter that here. And then you can hit the button verify code. There is one more functionality here. You see that recent text SMS. Let's say you are about to enter. That's when your boss calls you and says, hey, can you do this for me? And then you get distracted. And then now the code will expire in 5 minutes if it is through text or a phone call. If it is through email, your code will expire in 15 minutes. So within the time limit, if you don't enter, all you have to do is hit the recent button. That way you can get a fresh code. And then you can enter it here, and then you hit the button, verify code. You enter the code, and then you hit verify code button. Next slide, please. Okay, in this example, I'm entering the code as 796845 that I got to my cell phone as a text, and then I'm going to hit the verify code button. As soon as I hit the verify code button, you'll see the next screen. Next screen, please. Here, that's it, you're done. You get a congratulatory message at the top with your phone number, and then everything is done. So what I did was I picked my preferred method of authentication, and then I entered that phone number, and then I entered the code I got as a text, and then I completed it. So this is it, your registration is complete. You may see in the middle of the screen, begin alternative setup. So here's a use case. Let's say I go to a nice beach for my summer vacation, and then we all know that the cell phones are attracted to water. And then I drop my cell phone on the beach, it gets completely wet and it stops working. The next day I come into work, I need to have a way to log into INA. So the best thing would be for me to set up an alternative way. That way I can use the phone number if it is available. Or if I happen to get it wet at the beach, I can set up an alternative way like my work email address to get the same code. That way the next day when I come into work, I'll still be good. So that is optional, and you can do that by setting up begin alternative setup. Next slide, please. So with this, you are pretty much set. Next time onwards, when you log into INA, you're going to be prompted with the screen as soon as you enter your user ID and password. When you enter this, you're going to see your primary authentication method and also the alternative method. In this case, I didn't set up one. If I had set up one, you would see that. In the upcoming slides, you will see that example. So my primary device is stored here and then also displayed here. And then I recognize the last 4 digits of my cell number. I know that this is the right number. And then I hit the button, send verification code. This screen you will get after entering your user ID and password, after September 9th, and after setting up MFA. Every time you log in, you'll see the screen. And then next slide, please. Here's another important functionality. Some of you are power users. You log into INA multiple times a day. In that case, we have a feature where we will remember your computer, in this case, or any device that you use to log into INA for the next 24 hours. For that, all you have to do is select the radio button that says this is a private device. Once you do that and enter the code, then you hit the button verify code, you're good for the next 24 hours. All you have to do is enter your user ID and password every time you log in for the next 24 hours. You don't have to worry about getting a text and entering it because we understand that you have a lot of things to do, and then we want to make it a little bit easy for you to log in every time. One thing we will do is we're going to show you on the next screen. Once you select the, this is a private device. Next slide, please. We are going to show you this consent pop-up box. This is to make sure that you allow us to store a little file called cookie on your machine. That way we can remember your choice and also your computer for the next 24 hours. That way our system won't prompt you with a second factor request. Obviously, you don't want to use this option when you're at a library and using the library computer. Make sure that you use this option when you're using a trusted computer like your work computer. Next slide, please. You remember the existing users get an optional grace period? Let's say I'm within the grace period. This is after September 9th, and then I have an INA account already. I log in for the very first time. This is the screen I will get. At this time, I have a choice. I can set up my MFA authentication now, or I can come back and set it up if I'm busy with something else. So this is the optional grace period. You will get this screen for the next 30 days after September 9th from the first time you log into INA. After that, you have to, after the grace period ends, you have to set up your MFA. Slide 21, please. Remember that example where I went to the beach and then got my cell phone wet? In that example, obviously, I didn't set up an alternative method. So the next time I come into work, unfortunately, the phone ending with 9321 doesn't work anymore, but I still have to log in. In that case, I can hit the button that says Reset MFA. Once I do that, we're going to show you on the next screen what you need to do. Next slide, please. So in this example, I lost my phone, and I have to log into INA, and unfortunately, I didn't set up an alternative way. So when I hit the button Reset MFA, you are prompted with this. In this case, some of you may remember your security answers still. If you don't remember, you have to enter your personal details. If you get three chances to get them right, if you enter them correctly, then you can reset your MFA. You can pick a new device, new email address, new cell phone. For example, you move on to your new job, and then you get a shiny new iPhone from your new employer with a new phone number. And then obviously you want to change that. In that case, you can hit the reset button, come to the screen, answer the security questions correctly, or enter your personal information correctly, and then you'll be given an option to set up your MFA device or delete the old one. Next slide, please. So in this example, I lost my phone, I hit the reset button, and then I entered my security questions answers correctly, or I entered the personal information correctly. I am prompted with this screen. Here, I can delete my authentication method. For example, my phone number is not valid anymore. I got a brand new phone. I can delete it and set up an alternate one under primary one. Or my phone number works, but unfortunately, I don't have my phone with me. I left it at home. In that case, I can use the alternative method, set up my work email address, and then I get the code, and then I can go on with whatever I need to do on INA. Next slide, please. Okay, that is how INA is going to work. After September 9th, you just log in, use your grace period, or you set up MFA on day one. You can use your cell phone, voice call, or email to get your code. This is similar to how the banking websites work nowadays. So once you set up your MFA and INA, then you're set. When we go live with NPES on December 9th, all you have to do is start using MFA on NPES also. But if you haven't set it up, don't worry. You'll get a 30-day grace period if you just use NPES. Next slide, please. So you remember this roadmap? We talked about your grace period of 30 days for existing users. We talked about INA going live in September. Now we are going to focus on NPES. NPES is going to go live on December 9th with multi-factor authentication. We are doing this in steps. First INA, then NPES, then Pecos, and then Hi-Tech. Pecos is scheduled to go live in April. Next slide, please. So here is the MFA login. Before that, this is the NPES login page. Here, I'm logging in as Dr. James. And next slide, please. Remember the optional grace period you get in NPES? As soon as I log in, after December 9th and within the optional grace period, this is the screen I'm going to get. And unfortunately, I haven't set up my MFA in INA yet. So I have two options. I can use the grace period and continue logging into NPES during that time, or I can take this opportunity if I have a couple of minutes to set up my MFA in INA. Remember, you always set up your MFA in INA. Even though you may use NPES, Paycourse, or Hitech, you always go back to INA to set up your MFA and also reset MFA if you have to. Next slide, please. Now I have set up my MFA in INA, and then I am logging into NPES. Luckily, I've set up my primary method, and then I have also set up my alternative method. So I'm going to choose the first one, primary authentication method, with the phone number ending with 6770. I know that that is my phone number. I'm going to hit the button, send verification code. Next slide, please. This time I've prompted, this is similar to what you saw in INA. You have the option to remember your device for the next 24 hours. So in this case, I'm going to say that I'm choosing public device, but you can also choose it's a private device if you're using your work computer. And then you enter your code and then hit verify code. If you didn't get the code and then you waited a couple of minutes, if you haven't received it, it was lost in cyberspace, all you have to do is send the new code button, click the new code button, and then you'll get a new code that you can enter. Next slide, please. So that concludes how MFA is going to work on INA, followed by NPES. All you have to do is pick a device, get the code, enter it, and then thereafter start using it whenever you use INA or NPES. If you're an existing user, you get a 30-day grace period. If you're a new user, after September 9th, you have to set it up on day one. Now I'd like to turn over the control to Leah to conduct the Q&A session.
Thank you, Srini. Our subject matter experts will now take your questions. Throughout the Q&A session, we will ask webcast participants to provide feedback about their experience with the technology used today. Remember to disable your pop-up blockers for best results. We will begin our session by answering a few questions that we received from webcast participants and then take questions from the phone. Operator, please prompt the telephone users and begin to compile the Q&A roster. Operator, can you please give me instructions to compile the Q&A roster for the telephone participants?
Certainly. As a reminder, to ask an audio question, you will do so by pressing star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key.
Okay, and while you compile the roster, we will start taking some questions from the webcast. And our first question is, how long will my MFA code last?
The MFA code will last for 5 minutes if you are using SMS or using the voice call. If you are using email, it will last for 15 minutes.
Great, thank you. And our second question is, can the system handle international phone numbers?
It is not supposed to handle the international phone number. It will handle all the U.S. territories' phone number.
Looks like we have one more from the webcast. Am I required to set up two methods of MFA or just one?
You're only required to set up one. You can add your second one later on if you wanted to. But when you set up your account, you can set up only your primary account and you will consider your MFA set up correctly.
Thank you. And operator, do we have any questions from the phone line?
You do have a question from the line of Barbara Sorensen.
Oh. Need to revalidate their Medicare enrollments every 5 years. Is there a problem with them waiting 4 to 5 years to go in and update the INA?
Okay, so my name is David, so I'm answering most of the questions. Yes, if you don't log into INA every 4 and 5 years, let's say after September 9th, you go in there 4 years from now and you log in the first time, what is going to happen is that it will force you to set up your MFA before you can actually log into either PICOS or MPES or
okay. IMSS. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll take another one from the webcast. Can the MFA email be the same as the email listed on the primary email address field within INA? If not, does the MFA email need to be a unique email, or could it be shared, for example, the same email for a group of physicians in the same clinic?
There's no limitation of whether or not you use the same email. You can use the same email or different email. For the second part of the questions, whether or not the email can be shared, technically you can, but it is not recommended.
And here's another one from the webcast. Can the alternate method be a generic email, or does it have to be specific to provider?
Similar to the previous questions, yes, you can use a generic email if you wanted to, but it is not recommended.
Thank you. And can we take another question from the phone?
As a reminder, in order to ask an audio question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1.
All right, perfect. We have another one from the webcast. If using a cell phone or landline, does the number need to be unique per practitioner, or can it be the same, say, for multiple docs in a group?
Technically, you can use the same number for multiple doctors, but again, this is not recommended.
And our next question is, you have to enter in an alternate method at creation of account, or can you add a method later?
Yes, you can add the alternate method later. You actually can adjust or change your MFA method later or at any time.
Our next question is, do you need to get a new code from MFA upon every login outside of the private device that allows for 24 hours?
Correct. You will have to get a new verification code or a verification code every time you log in.
And so our next question is, will INA still lock you out completely if you go over more than 180 days without changing your password?
Can you repeat the question?
Will INA still lock you out completely if you go over more than 180 days without changing your password?
It will prompt to reset your password when you're logging to lock you.
Yes, it will work the same. The MFA implementation does not change the password changing policy.
Okay, let's take another question from the phone.
You have a question from the line of Gloria Baltvar. Gloria, your line is open.
Yes, we're a healthcare provider, and we use the MPES just to search and make sure that the PII is correct and it's valid. Do we still have to create an account?
Can you repeat your question?
Okay, we are a healthcare provider, and we use the MPES to verify. All we do is search. Would we still need to create an account?
Assuming you're using the MPI registry to search, no, you don't have to create an account.
Okay.
Thank you. And our next question from the webcast, does the private computer option remember you log in, and what if more than one doctor uses the same computer for enrollment purposes?
The private computer consent is based on per user, per computer. So if you have two users logging the same computer, each of them will have their own reference of their cookies.
Thank you. And our next question is, can any preferred email address be used for MFA, or does it have to be the email address associated with the particular INA account?
It doesn't need to be the particular address. You can use any email address you preferred.
Thank you. And can we take another question from the phone?
As a reminder, in order to ask an audio question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1.
I'm sorry, we'll take another question from the webcast. Why deploy different dates for NPEs and PECOs since INA logins have to be changed every 60 days and those are shared on the other accounts? Other deployment dates seem unnecessary.
Fair questions, but basically when we are looking to the schedule, there are still occasion or chances where you will actually have your INA account or set up or not set up, and you go into MPAS set up or not set up. We actually play with different configuration, and we still believe that giving the grace period for each and every application will allow us the best flexibility for us to make sure that all the application will migrate to MFA gracefully.
Thank you. And our next question is, how many alternate addresses can you have?
Can you clarify the question? Oh,
that's all we have.
I think what you meant is probably the alternative or MFA method. If that is the question, only one. So you have one primary and one alternative.
And our next question from the webcast is, can you set up the MFA prior to September 9th, 2019?
No, you don't have the capability to set that up until we start deploying or we have completed deployment on September 9th.
And next question is, will we still be required to update our password every 60 days?
Yes.
I thought I remembered that one. And looks like our final question right now is, so do you have to get an MFA code for each system every day?
Yes, except if you have your private consent to allow yourself to bypass it for 24 hours, but on the next day you still have to get it, yes.
And hold on for just one moment. All right, we have one more from the webcast. What happens if the MFA is never set up?
If you never set up and you never try to log in, nothing would happen. But the next time you try to log in, let's assume either your application grace period is passed or your application cutoff date is passed and you try to log in any subsequent date, the system will force you to set up MFA. If you do not want to set up MFA, it will just continue to be an account without an MFA set up, but you cannot log in.
And the next question is, do staff and users have to create their own INA account in order to work on behalf of their organization in PECOS and NPEs?
Yes, yes.
That's highly recommended, actually.
Okay. All right, hold on for just one moment. All right, we're getting more questions. Can you use two email addresses as MFA, one primary and the other secondary?
No, that is not allowed. When you set up primary and secondary method, it has to be something different. So you cannot use two SMS or two emails. It has to be one type the primary and the secondary has to be different type of MFA.
All right, let me get our next question. Our next question is, If an existing user is trying to access Pecos and is required to make a password change in INA, will they be required to set up MFA right away before they can change their
password?
Yeah.
So it depends on whether or not you have passed the INA grace period. So basically, you would when you want to change your passwords to Pecos, you would need to go into the INA application. And depending on whether that is the first time you log into the INA after the INA deployment date, or it was past your INA grace period, you may or may not need to set up an MFA. It's purely based on assuming that you log into the INA on the day that you try to change your Pecos password.
Our next question for the webcast is, who is required to use multi-factor authentication?
Every user.
Okay, great. And can we take a question from the phone?
You have a question from the line of Sherry Hooper.
Hi. I'm questioning the difference between a public device and a private device.
Yeah. So public and private device, basically, any public device is something. Any private device is something that is your own. You know that it's safe. It's not accessible by other people. That is like a loose destination. But for the purpose of the selection, it's basically warning you: if you are not using your own safe device, don't try to consent the cookies. Otherwise, you might compromise your account. If you are in doubt, you can just use public all the time, then it's the status. You just have to type in your MFA code.
Thank you. And our next question.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, so if you're using your work computer, then you would use public device?
Most of the time when you use your work computer, we consider that private because it's your own. It's safe. It's not publicly used.
So it's not written, you're not talking about what we're using for the MFA. Like if I use my private cell phone, that's not the question you're asking.
No, we are not talking about the device of the MFA. We're talking about the computer that you use to log into INA.
So okay. I think a good example would be for a public device, if you were in a library where multiple people are able to use that computer, and it's not just something that you use by yourself. But a private device is something where you know that you are the primary person using that device at most times.
Okay, so if you're at work and you're using that device, it would be private?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And another question from the webcast. What is the cutoff date where all INA users are required to use multi-factor authentication to access INA?
June 2020.
Okay, good. All right, let's see what other questions we have from the webcast. What happens if you are a company that completes applications on behalf of field clinicians?
Sure. Hi, this is Carl Schell from CMS. Typically, we suggest that if you're in INA, you should have your own account and you should establish surrogacy connection or employer connection with each one of these people who have their INA accounts for accessing. We definitely do not encourage sharing of accounts.
And our next question is, can you have one email for all of your providers in your group for verification? We have 40 providers.
Yeah, similar to the previous answer, yes, technically you could, but it's not recommended. We really prefer to have the INE users to have their own MFA factor. That's the purpose of adding this another layer of security.
Yeah, just to add to what David said, this is Srini. That's where the employer-employee relationship is helpful. So in this case, you are the employee with all the 40 providers as your employers. That way you can manage that account. And all you have to do is just sign up for one INA account for yourself, and then you can manage others' information.
Our next question is, as long as I'm a staff user for the provider, does it matter if they
do not log in?
Yeah, believe if you were able to do all the functions that the provider needed to do as a staff and user, it's okay for the provider not setting up their MFA because they really doesn't log in directly themselves. So it falls into the same category. If someone doesn't log in for many years, what's going to happen? Well, they will have an account that is not enabled. But since you have the staff end user that can manage for the provider, it's actually going to be okay.
And can we take another question from the phone?
You have a question from the line of Marie Graney.
Yes, hello. I work on behalf of 13 providers. So when I log in, can I use my personal cell phone for the MFA? Can I set up my personal cell phone for that?
Yes, you can. May I clarify, are you looking into you will log in as yourself and manage the other providers, or are you logging on their behalf directly as their account?
I would be logging on their behalf.
Yeah, that is not a recommended practice, even though technically you can do it, but Kyle is here. as mentioned, this is not recommended.
Yeah, I mean, according to CMS security practices, the idea is that it's supposed to be one account per one person, and you're not supposed to be able to access other people's accounts using their private login information. The ideal way to handle that is to set up surrogacy or employment connection to each one of their accounts so that you can manage everything with your one single logon. So in that case, you would be able to use your personal cell phone for MFA, but you would only have to have that in your own account. You would be able to access all the other accounts through your one login.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. And we have another question from the webcast. When all is implemented in June 2020, can you go to any system to start the day, so to speak, and get your MFA start the 24-hour clock?
I assume you're talking about the private computer consensus. Right now, it is configured that each application will actually track it separately. So if you are logging in into INA, MPES, and TECOS are at a different time, the 24 hours is based on per computer, per user, per application. So you might have to log in three times.
And our next question is, I have INA newly to my office. I have just started using it in the past month. So this MFA is pulling out all three of the functions together to have, oh, hold on. To have one password for NPES, TECOS, et cetera.
So, hi, this is Carl from CMS. So, INA allows you to set up one account, and it allows you to access NPES, INA, TECOS, and HITECH using one password. It does not currently allow you to log in once and share that login session with all of the applications. Every time you go to each one of the applications, you will have to log in and also do MFA for each one of them. Unfortunately, that's the way it is right now. We are looking into the future to potentially have a unified login system where it will work across applications, but there is no timeline for that.
And our next question is, if the MFA is a setup INA, does that cover the NPES and TECOS setups at the same time?
Yeah, so this is Carl again. So once you set it up in INA, you won't have to set it up separately for NPES and TECOS. That same MFA method will work in all systems.
And our next question from the webcast, aren't the alternate information the type of information that's stolen, slide 22, meaning MFA isn't secure since you can bypass it?
So right now, that is our only method, both with the alternative questions that you have there or the private information. I think that one of the things that we're trying to do is make sure that anyone who logs in does have a secure way of making sure that they have a secondary factor of authentication. You are correct that a lot of times that information is stolen, and we will most definitely take that back and pass it through our CMS security team to make sure that we're not making any mistakes there.
Thank you.
Thank you. And can we take a question from the phone?
You have a question from Barbara Sorensen.
Thanks. Hi. My question is currently Pecos, when a provider needs to electronically sign an application, they can use a PIN that Medicare sends them to bypass the login in Pecos to electronically sign an application. Will that still be an option, and will that PIN allow them to bypass the MFA regulation as well?
All right, so this is Carl again. The PIN for provider signatures won't be affected at all from MFA.
Okay, so if they have not set up MFA yet, and then they go in with a PIN, that's not going to require them to set up MFA to electronically sign the form?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. And our next question from the webcast. What if a provider staff updates the passwords? How will this MFA work?
What if when they update the password, it does not necessarily have to trigger the MFA change, so they are tracked independently. If the person already have the password account and they also have their primary MFA factor set up, 2 days later they go change their password, their MFA factor would not need to be adjusted. So whatever it is there will continue to be there.
Our next question is, can a billing company create their own login and link multiple providers via surrogacy to that login and update information on their behalf?
Yes, that's correct. That's how the surrogacy is supposed to work.
Thank you. And can we take a question from the phone?
You have a question from the line of Liz Sheen Connect.
Hi, I'm a staff end user for a group of providers, and I have surrogacy on their accounts, but I just wanted to be clear about that. If I'm doing a revalidation for the provider, they would still need to log in and have that MFA in order to sign off. Is that correct?
So this is Carl again. No, that's actually not correct. So I'll give you an example. In your situation, you have your own INA account, and you're connected to each one of these individual accounts as a staff end user, you will have to set up MFA, and you'll have to have that set up correctly. But when you go to log in to, let's say, Pecos to do a reval, then you would have to use your MFA. But at no point in time would you have to go and get every single one of those people that you're connected to set up their MFA until they want to access their own account. Did I answer your question?
I must not understand then, because I thought when I do a revalidation for a provider, it is asking for them to sign off on that?
Yes, correct. So I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was the extended question. If they need to come in and log into Pecos in order to do the signature, then yes,
mm-hmm.
they would have to set up their MFA before they're able to log in. But if you use the electronic signature PIN that is sent to them through email and they can click that link and sign, they wouldn't have to necessarily set up MFA.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we have another one from the webcast. As a surrogate, how might I assist our providers in keeping their accounts current if the passwords need to be reset for all providers every 60 days? Will I be able to keep current passwords for all of my providers?
As a surrogate, you should have access to their accounts, the in-person information, Pecos information, and high-tech information. So technically, they don't have to log in and change their passwords, unless you want them to give you additional business functions or if you want to do a role change from staff end user to a delegated official. So only time they need to log in with an MFA is whenever they want to give you additional business functions or additional authorizations. Without that, you can just log in and manage their information.
On the off chance that they do log in after 60 days, they would then have to reset and change their password. but it is not necessary for you to force them to come in before, you know, every day, every 59 days and reset their passwords across the board. It's just the idea that that password does need to be changed 60 days and beyond.
Thank you. And could we take another question from the phone?
We have a question from the line of Kathleen Markin.
Yes, I'd like to know, we're staff and new users for a large group, and we currently use DocuSign to have our physicians sign certification statements, and then we upload them. Can we continue to use that process?
Yes, you should be able to.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have another question from the webcast. When can we start to register our phone and email addresses for MFA?
You can start doing that after the system go live, and that is September 9th.
Thank you. Let me check to see if we have any more questions. Okay, we have another question from the webcast. Regarding the e-signature process, wouldn't a provider just need to log in with the sign-on link provided by CMS to e-sign their app?
Hi, Jane. This is Carl. I think, yes, you are correct. They would only need to log on with that sign-in link. I think what you're saying, so there's an e-signature process that sends out a unique link with a code attached to it where you can they can click and then sign the application. That will not be tied to MFA. If they do need to sign in or log in to Pecos in order to see what signatures are pending, then anytime you add your sign in with your username and password, you would have to do the MFA process.
Thank you. We have another question from the webcast. I know it's unrelated, but RADS can DocuSign for Pecos app?
I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure if I understand the terminology for RADS.
Let me see if we have any more questions.
Maybe this is related to the previous question, but I believe that there is functionality in certain cases where you can upload a signature page for an application. But, yeah, that is off topic, and I don't have the full details for that.
We have another question from the webcast. At 180 after the password expires, doesn't the INA account lock up somehow, requiring a doctor to call it in to unlock the account?
No. After 180 days, you can reset your password if you remember your old password. If you don't remember your old password, you can use our reset functionality to by answering the security questions and answers, or by entering the doctor's personal information. If you don't get them correct in three attempts, that's when you need to call.
Carl, related to Peter's question, our RAD is radiologist. Regarding to the previous questions, our RAD is the radiologist.
Oh, okay.
And they also asked for your last name.
Yeah, so full name is Carl Schell. It's carl.schell at CMS. HHS.gov. I see the other question there that was asking about DocuSign. If you can send me that information, I can make sure it gets sent on to the right person.
Thank you. And can we take another question from the phone?
We have a question from the line of Sherry Hooper.
Hi, it's me again. So what happens when a provider does not know their username or that's it, basically. And can they get in without an MFA setup?
Yeah, if they for. Can I ask the question?
Oh, yeah. Hi, this is Srini. Let's say I forget my user ID. If you go to the login page on INA, you can do the forgot user ID. You can click that link, and then you can answer the security questions. The answers for the security questions, or you can enter your personal information. So you have three chances to get them right. If you don't get them right, that's when you need to call. So.
Okay, and you call EUS, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I was just also going to answer the one additional question is how to spell my name. So it's Carl, C-A-R-L, dot Shell. I think someone was breathing out at the exact same time that I said that. I'll say it again. C-A-R-L dot S-C-H-E-L-L at cms.hhs.gov.
And we'll take another question from the webcast. So once in a staff end user, the provider never needs to log in and set up MFA, as I would be able to complete updates, correct?
Correct, except when you need to have a role change or some other function that the provider himself needs to do, but for the most part, on a day-to-day, they don't have to.
All right, thank you. Unfortunately, it looks like that's all the time we have for questions today. On slide 33, you'll find information on how to evaluate your experience with today's event. We'll also push out the link to the evaluation to our webcast participants right now. Evaluations are anonymous, confidential, and voluntary, but we hope you'll take a few moments to evaluate your experience with today's event. As a reminder, disable your pop-up blockers for best results. An audio recording and transcript will be available in about 2 weeks at go.cms.gov/NPC. I'd like to thank our subject matter experts and all our participants who joined us for today's Medicare Learning Network event on enrollment multi-factor authentication for the INA system. Have a great day, everyone.
This concludes today's call. Presenters, please hold.